as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The car's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
It's a drag race. They're sideways. And it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast post-race reaction edition here tonight on this Tuesday night, coming at you from Manhattan, Kansas, where we do the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Obviously, this is Eddie Greer III, EG3, in the building once again. Also joining me down here, who does not speak on this podcast and does good work producing this podcast, as known as Big D. Welcome into the 3Wide with EG3 NASCAR Podcast. We're due, as usual, the latest news stories, race recaps from the latest action from the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three best divisions in all of motorsports. Richmond had it all, including a fantastic finish, and I'm pumped up more than I am usually. I'm always pumped up, but this one has me extra pumped up. And yeah, we'll get into all that. Plus Jimmy, his outing at Boston yesterday, and Tiger back on top at the Masters. Have that going as well as we get rolling. Let's dive right on into business, shall we, with the Xfinity Series, which went down this past Friday, and the Dash for Cash Series continued with, again, another contestant of the four who are battling out for the Dash for Cash prizes. Won once again, and that person was Cole Custer, doing it at Richmond in dominating fashion in this one. And of course, the Xfinity Series fellas had to battle the rain elements as well, folks. And Cole Custer, after stage two, wanted the rain to come down right there. It did not. Somehow, some way, the rain holds off, obviously, until the final lap of the race. Indeed, Cole Custer, after last week finishing in the top three, who could not get by Tyler Reddick or Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell won at Bristol, but Christopher Bell had issues in the second stage there. Contact, and some of the strategy was really kind of befuddled me there. For one team that really needed a good finish in this race right here. But Cole Custer, for the first time in his NASCAR career, is a multi-winner. Of course, this one's going back to when Cole Custer held off Kyle Busch's quest for 200 at the time, back at his home track in Fontana. Cole Custer doing it by being his former teammate Austin Stewart and Justin Allgaier. Another strong car in this race, and won another stage in this one as well. It looked like Justin Allgaier was going to go en route to win this thing, but weird strategy, like I said earlier, staying out in stage, towards the end of stage two, and that almost didn't play out. He went back through the, came back through the field, and luckily for him, he got himself a top five finish. But of course, he wanted to win, and he had a car to beat back at Bristol last week. Couldn't get it done there. Obviously had the motor issues that killed his chances to win the race there. You turn around the next time on this short track here, you win stage one, and then your crew chief calls, pretty much with rain around you. And even still, even today, I just don't know what went through the crew chief's mind there. And the crew chief's mind is slipping away from me at the moment. Maybe I'll, like usual, it comes back to me a little later on. Jason Burdette, there we go. See, that's what I'm talking about. Burdette made the call to have Allgaier stay out. They were, everybody else gets fresh tires there. Custer gets by and a few others. Bell makes contact with another car there, which put him out of points in stage two there. That was kind of the turning point of this race. The EG3 moment of the race in the Xfinity Series came right there. Allgaier, luckily for him, a couple of cautions helped his cause there to get him through the field. Unlike Kyle Busch in the Cup Series. Of course, we'll have the Cup recap here in momentarily. But Cole Custer, 122 laps en route to win number two of the year. And of course, Bell won last week. So again, I mean, Reddick has not won in the series yet, at least this year. The defending Xfinity Series champion, Tyler Reddick, hasn't won a race yet this year. Allgaier still winless after that dream year a year ago. But a couple guys that I want to point out here real fast here. And one I'll save in the second half. But this first one right here, Zane Smith, who drove the 8 car over the weekend. Fabulous job. Of course, the 8 car being shared for the Orange Points Championship. But Zane Smith, another strong run. Obviously, Ryan Truex, gave that car a great run back at ISM. Ryan Preece, Chase Elliott, and Zane Smith did a great job in this one. Battled inside the top 10 through much of this race. And I don't want to sound like I'm beating the old drum here, but I got to do it because this guy is continuing to impress, and this is a career year, in my opinion, to this point. That person and the person of, in the driver of Ryan C. You're listening to 3Y NASCAR Podcast, post-race edition of the podcast, EG3, here with you guys tonight on this Tuesday, April 16th. 2019, Ryan Sieg in that 39 Chevy. They're driving for his own team. I mean, we've seen him have success on plate tracks, but this is probably the first year that we've seen this guy, this team, this driver, start to put it together. And this is not the new package that obviously the Xfinity guys are. They're using the old package, obviously, but this 39 team, we have to be impressed of what this team has done so far this year. And oh, by the way, yes, the Truck Series, they're off until May, the first weekend in May, and then of course Xfinity and Cup Boys are off this week. We got Easter weekend coming up this weekend, so no NASCAR activity this weekend. Back to the stake at hand here. Ryan C. Top 5 finish. Strong. And this, the 39, was lighting them up on the long. Not the short run we're talking about. We're talking about long run speed. This guy was picking them off one by one by one. And it would have been interesting if this team have gotten better pit stops and gotten better track position, or better, I shouldn't say better track position, better position on the racetrack. But every time Sieg would fall back, he would just keep coming. And at one point, yeah, he was in Big D. He was fifth. The highest he came was fifth position, and he ended up finishing there. So things would have definitely been interesting from that point if the race would have gone on. But of course, the Fords finish 1-2 in that aspect. Your top 10 finishers from the Toyota Owners 250. Your 10th place finisher, Justin Haley, puts down together another top 10 run on a short track. So that's back-to-back top 10s for the 11th of the College League Racing. Justin Haley finished in the 10th spot. And your pole sitter for the Toyota Owners 250, that is Riley Herbst. Impressive there. We saw this guy last year. I mean, not figuratively, but we seen him in a couple of races last year for Joe Gibbs Racing. Hurst gave that 18 a ninth place finish right there and led only one lap there. Chase Briscoe, one of your Dash for Cass participants finished in the 8th spot there once again. So the 98 continuing to put down, tick down, top 10 after top 10. John Hunter Nemechek finished in the 7th spot. I mentioned Zane Smith earlier, 6. Ryan C. in the 5th position. 4th, Tyler Reddick all night was not a factor in this one tonight. Furthest he got back was like 12th or 13th place, and somehow toward the end of the race, you see that 2-car pop up in the top 5, finished in the 4th position in this one. Justin Allgaier, another stage win for him, led 86 laps en route to a 3rd place finish. This could have been much worse, but the cautions pretty much played in the favor of the 7. Austin Cindric, your runner-up there, led 7 laps in this one. And he's yet to win the Xfinity Series race. Another runner-up finish for the 22. And the 00 of Cole Custer, your winner in this one. 2 wins now for Cole Custer. And you're wondering, where did Christopher Bell finish after all that contact? And he had to come down again to repair that right front, I believe, either left front or right front, one of those two. But point being, he had damage on the front of his car. Christopher Bell led 32 laps and ended up finishing in the 16th position right there. So Cole Custer and Christopher Bell on the board right here as we switch the screen over to the standings here. And from the penalty box that we, before we hopped on, we read the penalty box sheet on Tyler Reddick here. We'll get to that here momentarily. But speaking of Reddick is still your points leader, now extending it to 24 in the regular season, heading into the off week over Christopher Bell. C. Bell there in second. Cole Custer is a solid 3rd place there. Austin Cindric 4th. And Justin Allgaier now moves into the 5th position after Michael Annette did not have a great run. And even though John Nemechek had a solid run there, as I just talked about, Allgaier moves into the 5th position. That is your top 5 right there. The next race coming off the Easter weekend, which will be next week, activity resumes on FS1, the Moneyline 300, April 27th. That is next weekend on FS1. MRN has coverage. And before we get to Tyler Reddick news on him, the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, once again, reminder for those of you who are wondering, the Gander Outdoor Truck Series resumes May 3rd, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. That's 4 o'clock local time. The JEGS 200 FS1 will have coverage of that. And back to Tyler Reddick here. On my note sheet, NASCAR docked the Reddick team there for the 1 lug nut. Not safe after they're falling the checkered flag of the Toyota owners. 250, so there was the only notable there penalty there from the Xfinity Series race. So Gander Outdoor Truck Series is off, obviously. Like I said already a few times tonight, Xfinity Series is off. And now we turn our attention to the Monster Energy side of things. And man, oh man, it feels good to finally say MTJ win at a short track. This was this was primed from my vantage point, obviously. This was primed. Everybody was talking about it. This was hyped up to be one of those, all right, Martin Truex Jr. does not win. This is another disappointment. All the stats, the over 80 and all this other stuff, that can finally put the rest, Big D. It is over. Over. Short track, no more. It's over. It's a wrap. Done deal. And he did it in Martin Truex Jr. fashion there. Not dominating. He didn't have the best car. And we'll hear from him coming out of the intermission. And Joey Logano, who finished in 2nd. And you got... Yeah, it went through the back of my mind, obviously. But those last 100 laps were probably the best. And Bristol was good last week. Talking about the action of activity up front, going, guys battling for the lead. You saw it last week, and this topped it right here. four cars under a blanket. The action, the fourth quarter, was man up, man on man. Drivers, cars not handling well, not getting through traffic very well. Martin Truex Jr. stepping up and getting the job done. And you guys are probably wondering what in the world is going through my mind as Martin Truex Jr. This was set up and by Kyle Busch speeding, coming off of pit road in the end of stage one. Martin Truex Jr. took the lead and had to battle a couple of pits of cars. Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, obviously strong all night long. But these last 75 to 100 laps were nerve-wracking, probably going back to Homestead in 17, where Martin Truex Jr. won the championship a couple years ago. This was nerve-wracking to a T. Why? Because the obvious reasons, you guys know it by now. And now, you know, there's still probably, everybody was still probably bringing up here now and then about how he was 0-80 and whatnot. But this guy, and this, I talked about in the preview show, 487 laps, boys and girls. And that, and going back to my note sheet on the preview podcast, and by the way, you have not listened to that, go back, listen to the last couple episodes from last week on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. But I was pacing. And, you know, everybody knows the feeling. When your driver's out front, you shake a little bit. You shake even more as the laps start to wind down. And for me, I was pacing in the living room back and forth continuously. Back and forth. And when that 22 car, fast forward, those last 10 laps there where Logano got past Clint Bowyer. I thought Clint Bowyer was going to take the lead away from him. Bowyer didn't do that. Bowyer used his stuff up there to get to the 19 car. And then, might make matters even more worse than it already are, you got to deal with the 22 car who punted you out of the way last fall for the win to get Joey Logano in that championship four, and we all know what happened from there. And flashback, oh, Martinsville, oh, bleepy bleep, here we go again. Logano's going to do something to Truex there and probably spin and win, bump and run move again. You had to think that. Cole Pern even said it in his post-race presser there. He even said it. You had to think it. There was no way on green grass that Joey Logano's not going to do nothing. Hell yeah, he's going to do something. Learn from your mistakes, right? Logano and Plouffe, the situation was the Plouffe, was Richmond is a playoff track, obviously. Then Logano, and probably even any other driver, would put the bumper to you. And yeah, it make matters even worse. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So you had to think in that situation, Logano was going to do something to move the 19 out of the way for him to get the victory. Logano's already got a win anyway in his back pocket. You might as well try to fight him off with Martin Truex Jr. That was a hell of a drive. There, incredible drive by the 19 car. Finally, after all the heartbreak, all the Derek Cope, the pit mistakes and all that other stuff last year, having a dominant car in the playoffs last year at the stake and speeding on pit road, and the pit crew, Joe Gish Racing, the 19 pit crew, did an amazing job all night long in the aggressive changes from Cole Pern in that 19 Auto Owners Toyota was a big difference in this one. Yeah, they were not the best car. Kyle Busch, in my opinion, was stepping your own toes. And, you know, if your teammates there, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, making pit road errors there, speeding and all this other stuff. I still don't know how in the world Denny Hamlin, two speeding penalties, is still winning that Texas race. I mean, it's been on my mind lately. You cannot make mistakes and win and somehow win a championship like that. But apparently Denny Hamlin did it in a race. But you can't do this too many times, though. Apparently, you have to be flawless. I mean, the championship race is a perfect example of it. Kyle Busch you know, pit crew, not enough snuff. Every faucet, whether it's NBA, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs that are currently going on right now, your team is trying to go on a run. You cannot. I mean, you can make a mistake here and there early. If you want to make a mistake, it has to be early. Kyle Busch made a mistake. He spit on pit road. It was after stage one. I thought he would slice through the field. But apparently, it took him way longer than probably everybody would have thought right there. And it was too little, too late. And then, of course, they had a little couple of gaffes also. So everything has to come in play for the opportunity, whether it's winning a championship or winning a race of some sort, you have to be spot on. There's no question. And Mark Trish Jr., Cole Pern, Clayton Hughes, spotter, did a fantastic job. Everybody on that 19th team, Big D, did what they're supposed to do. And we took home the checkered flag in this one. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast post-race reaction to Richmond. Eddie Greer III, he was the guy tonight on this beautiful Tuesday evening here in Manhattan, Kansas, where I live, where I reside here in the United States. But yeah, I mean, without a caution, Larry Mack reiterated that, or that he said that a couple of times during race sub, and of course after the fact also. He was probably hoping for that caution, and that caution would have, any caution would have came out, would have changed the game, obviously. But surprisingly, it did not. I was waiting for it, but it did not come. Martin Truex Jr. did a fantastic job taking the line away from Logano, which Logano used toward the end of Stage 2 to win Stage 2. There, from help from a teammate there toward the end of Stage 2. I was not happy about that. But later, Truex used it to his advantage and took the line away from Logano, even though that door was open there toward coming into the final lap there. Logano couldn't cash in. Truex does. And yes, it's not a playoff race, but it's not going a race going home, transferring, going to homestead, whatnot. But this feels 10 times good as it would have felt back then in the fall, where we saw Logano there take away a short track win from Truex. Not on this night. Truex was determined, all caps, to get the job done. And I mentioned Kyle Busch. This race changed. EG3 moment that changed everything was that speeding penalty for sure. 100%. Kyle Busch speeding on pit road. And the door opened for Mark Trish Jr. there, who came in second at that time, to get the job done right there. So, Martin Trish Jr. on the board. And, I mean, we've reprimed this up pretty good. Pretty much everybody here, obviously myself included, being a Mark Trish Jr. fan. And you got to feel good. This feels really good. And now on top of that, we don't have no NASCAR this weekend. So, double the fun. Not going to have too much fun, obviously. But separating the fact, enjoying the moment now, that your driver won a race. Now that you're going to the off week, I mean, you probably wish you would still have a race this weekend, but having an off weekend and getting that momentum and saying, finally, we got it done. Truex has been knocking on the door early this year, obviously coming up short in Atlanta on Brad Keselowski, and then again later to teammate Kyle Busch at ISM. And now, you know, the familiar going into this race, Mark Trish Jr. didn't have no stage points, no wins, no plot points, shboot. You're on unfamiliar territory for the first time, really. I mean, you set the standard with all these stage points, stage wins, plot points, en route to your first championship. And then, of course, being part of the Big Three, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick last year, and now you break through. And what would be nice now, folks, see Martin Truex Jr. somehow get a plate win in the Cup Series. I mean, he's got a couple in the Xfinity Series when he's driving for Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. He has yet to do that in the Cup Series. So, Truex Jr., 20th career win. They're getting it on arch nemesis Joey Logano there. part three belongs to Logano. And I probably did not mention the fact that part two came out Homestead last November, where, of course, Truex, Logano battling for the championship there. And obviously, y'all know what happened last year. Logano blazed by Truex there and said adios to Truex there and got his championship last year. So, felt pretty good there. Yeah, Logano said he didn't have nothing for him at the end. Pretty much nobody did. There, Harvick there trying to make something happen there, trying to get by Bowyer at the end there. Clint Bowyer, I thought Clint Bowyer was going to go by Martin Truex, because Clint Bowyer had a great car, especially in the fourth quarter of that race, and used the stuff up. I said, texted a couple buddies there throughout the race, and on top of that, interacted with Truex Nation on my Twitter feed, obviously. And I have not done that enough this year, because a small group is on Sundays at 5, so I've not been able to do that as much. But that was fun, interacting with the group, and everybody's pumped up about the win and everything else. And finally, we can all celebrate, and obviously, post-race inspection was all good, so that was a sigh of relief in itself right there. So that was a lot of fun interacting with Martin Truex Jr. fans out there, including, well, I should say fans out there. I should say the Martin Truex Jr. Friend Club, I should say. I put it like that. So that was really fun. What was that? That was fun doing that, and texted a couple of buddies saying he's going to use his stuff up getting to him, and I don't think he's going to get around him. Even 15% of me thought he was going to somehow give that race away, and did not. Held on for dear life. That was the drive right there. Probably similar to holding off Kyle Busch there for the championship a couple years ago in Miami Speedway there. Full field rundown right now. And this guy right here. Wow. What a disappointing start to the season. Kyle Larson hit the wall. He made contact. This was either stage one, stage two, I don't know. But anyways, Kyle Larson made contact with another car. Front end damage around a tire. And then it just got worse. Kyle Larson in that 42 Ganassi finishes shotgun in this one, 37th. And when you take a look outside the playoff picture, he is out of it right now. And this is, speaking of taking breaks off weeks, this off week couldn't come at a better time for one Kyle Larson. It's been a damn shame for him so far. Not only you're not getting the luck in the results, but you're seeing a guy coming over from Stuart Haas Racing doing big time things right now. Kyle Larson, the break he needed right now to reset, and they're going to have to get going here when action resumes at Talladega next week. Michael McDowell, another hard hit for him, 36. Landon Castle, 34th. Quinn Huff, 34th. Joey Gase, 33rd. Bailey Curry, 32nd. Jeb Burton, who drove the 51 Ford over the weekend, finished in the 31st position. Ross Chastain, 30th. Matt Tiff, 29th. David Reagan, 28th. Bubba Wallace, 27th. Corey LaJoy, 26th. Ryan Blaney, who helped Joey Logano get that Stage 2 win, and you still struggle at Richmond there. Ryan Blaney, 25th in this one. Matt DiBenedetto, 24th. Eric Almirola, 23rd. Not a factor in this one. Chris Buescher, not indicative of what that team was running. This team has had strong runs, back-to-back weekends. Bristol was up in the top 10 all day long until Loose Wheel. Here, I don't know what in the world happened. What did Trent Owens do to that 37 Chevy race car? I have no idea. I was too busy paying attention to what's going on up at the front, dealing with Logano, Bowyer, and Harvick getting in the picture. But Chris Buescher, this is disappointing. 37 car finishes in a 22nd position. That's not going to get done. And like I said, I put him in the Ryan Blaney category. You got to finish races in the fourth quarter. That's what you got to do. And the 37 has been right in the mix to get top 10 finishes and you can't capitalize on it. So that has to be disappointing. For the second consecutive week, you don't capitalize on a good race car. Ty Dillon, 21st. Ryan Preece finished in the 20th position. Daniel Hemric in the 19th position there. Daniel Suarez speeding off pit road and ending up in the 18th position. Alex Bowman, 17th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 16th. Chase Elliott, 15th. Erik Jones, 14th. And he was one of those cars that had to start in a rear of the field due to not passing pre-tech. Had to go to the back of the field. That pretty much, was he in the front? No, he was in the back in the top 10. That was Erik Jones. Yeah, he was supposed to be with Kevin Harvick up there in the, yeah, Kevin Harvick. Let me backtrack here for a second. Hold on for a minute. Right here looking. Yeah, Harvick, I was right. Okay, I just want to make sure real quick. Okay, Harvick started on the pole for the Toyota Motors 400. Erik Jones is supposed to be second, and he got hit along with Jimmy Johnson. While I'm on this topic, might as well explain it right now. He, Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, and another car in the mix here. I think it was Daniel Suarez also who got hit, not passing pre-tech. Their teams not passing pre-tech. They all had to start in the back of the field. The farthest one to get there was, I believe, Jimmy Johnson was the furthest of those cars. Chase Elliott finished 15th, Erik Jones 14th, William Byron finished 13th, Jimmy Johnson finished in the top dozen in 12th there. The best of those cars who started in the back of the field and just outside the top 10, Kurt Busch coming off the run-up finish at Bristol in the 11th position right there. Before we take our intermission timeout, gotta acknowledge on this past weekend, my man, Tiger Woods, gets it done, winning Masters number 5 there and getting closer to Jack Nicklaus right there. I tuned the TV just in time doing chores around the house this weekend and got a notification. I kept a close eye on Tiger throughout the weekend. I see how he was doing and then got the notification that Tiger took the lead. And I bolted to the TV screen to change it to the Masters there. And to see Tiger Woods close the deal there, unbelievable. And obviously the reaction, hugging the kids and everything, that was awesome. Just awesome. I thought this moment would never happen again for Tiger there. Now, I mean, he won in his return prior to winning the Masters there. That was really exciting to see him win. But to finally see him get another major title there, major on a major event, just two thumbs up right there. So the reaction, classic, everything else. Tiger back on top at the Masters winning that. So that was awesome in itself right there. So that was great television. Even if you're not a golf fan, you know that Tiger Woods is the man in golf. He brought me, well, prior to that, and Big D Too Fast on the music right there, and we just played that. So there we go. We'll hold that there until after the intermission. But Tiger Woods back on top of the leaderboard at Augusta, bringing home the win there. That was huge. He was, obviously, social media was set off. And I'll talk about Jimmy Johnson in segment number 2. We're going to wrap up Richmond recap right there. So I just wanted to acknowledge that there. Tiger Woods winning at the Masters. 5th Masters title. 1 closer to Jack Nicklaus. 3Y NASCAR Pilots, EG3 Rolls Along. And I'm going to get the social media update real quick. And follow me at EG3_FastEddie. Again, at EG3_FastEddie. And you want to find the 3Y NASCAR podcast, you can find it wherever podcasts are found. As usual, Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, y'all know what it is, and more. 3Y NASCAR Podcast. Add it to your collection of weekly NASCAR podcasts and sports podcasts. Again, 3Y NASCAR Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Time to take our intermission break right here on a 3Y NASCAR Podcast. When we come back, you will hear the replay of the last couple of laps, and you'll hear from the eventual winner, MTJ, and second place, Joey Logano, will run through the rest of the top 10. EG3 stickers to be handed out as well. Time out. 3Y with NASCAR Podcast EG3 returns after this.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
I've always really enjoyed this track. Don't get run over here, the car's trying to roll, but I've always loved coming here. And you know, the short track win, everybody kept asking me when it was going to happen, and you know, tonight we didn't have the best car, but we've lost here with the best car a bunch of times. So we just fought, we battled, thanks to auto owners, a lot of auto owners, people here, and you know, Toyota owners, 400 to win here in the Toyotas was huge. So got my buddy up there, I just won him 10 grand. And we're just really excited. You know, everybody at JGR is doing a great job, and with Toyota, and just a blessing to drive these race cars and have an awesome team. So we're been chipping away at it, and hopefully we can get better from here on out.
How concerned were you closing laps? The 22 got by Bowyer, and he was in your mirror. You guys do have a history.
Yeah, I mean, I was struggling the last 40 laps. I just, you know, I had no front turn. I just was real, real tight that last run. So you just had to hold them off. You know, being out front was important tonight. But, you know, thanks to the pit crew, they kept us out there. You know, they've had a tough year, tough week last week. And we beat up on them pretty good all week after Bristol. And they defense the stop of the year tonight. So just really proud of everyone. And really, really happy to get our first win with Gibbs. And definitely, you know, first short track win is pretty awesome too.
Took 20 races, but he scores his first short track win in the Cup Series. That's a big one. Vince.
Well, Joey Logano certainly made him earn it. How close were you to getting there to either get to his bumper or to get the pass completed?
Weren't you watching the race?
I sure was. I couldn't. It looked like you were there. I was waiting for the bumper, man.
Yeah, we were close. Just not close enough. Ran out of time there. I figured something out there towards the end. About 10 laps to go to make up some speed. Probably something that wouldn't last in the long run, but something to make up some speed. And got a decent run off of two on the last lap. I was like, man, I can figure out where I need to be here. And Thought I could maybe get to the outside and roll momentum. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't roll the bottom and get enough drive off of four either way, so my only move was to go up and started getting there, and then it slid up, and I got tight, and I couldn't turn underneath them. But fun race, just, gosh, 3 weeks in a row, I feel like we had a car that could win the race, and we haven't won, so that's a little frustrating, but when you're frustrated with second, that's a good sign about where your team's at. So a couple little things kept us from winning, but you know, overall, I felt like we had a great car, just a little bit of execution, things we got to clean up still.
Three wide with EG3 is back on the airways. Eddie Greer III, once again, the post-race reaction edition of Richmond Continues. Big D here behind the glass. We're in the EG3 garage area here. Come at you from Manhattan, Kansas. Martin Truex Jr. holding off rival Joey Logano. Round three belongs to that 19 team there at Richmond. Logano did not have enough there. Neither did Bowyer and Harvick try to get up in the mix. They're late. They are four cars under a blanket there. And Martin Truex Jr. somehow, subway, hangs on to get his first short track win in the Cup Series and nab victory number 20. Overall, in his Cup Series career, we're going to go into the top 10 now and finishing in 10th spot. How about this? Back-to-back top 10 finishes for Paul Menard in that Wood Brothers 20. Paul Menard started up in the top 10, I believe, in this one here. Let me go back here real quick. There we go. The screen is back to the results up here. Paul Menard, yes, Paul Menard started 9th and finished in the 10th strong. Another top 10 run for him. And back-to-back top 10 finishes for this guy, the 6th car, Ryan Newman. In that 6th car, finishing in a 9th spot there after starting 24th. The man, it would look like it was going to be the Kyle Busch show one more time here already in 19. But the speeding penalty and struggling to get through the field, the 18 car of Kyle Busch. But Kyle Busch making another nugget in history books. 9 races, 9 top 10s to start off the 19 campaign. There's too many 9s going on, but Kyle Busch, so not bad. 101 laps led, but if he doesn't speed on pit road, this might have been a different ball game, but it was not. Thank you, Kyle Busch. Brad Keselowski finishing in the 7th spot. And this one, Keselowski led 31 laps in this one. Austin Dillon, who had a 6th place finish in the postseason race in the fall, backs it up with another 6th place effort for that 3 car. Denny Hamlin finishes in the 5th spot. All right, talk about these guys. Kevin Harvick, your pole sitter, 30 laps, finished in the 4th spot, rallied back. Harvick didn't have a good car in this one, but worked on it, and we saw him right there battling for the lead, and I thought this guy was going to get Truex, that and the person of Clint Bowyer. Bowyer was hot on Truex's tails in that 4th quarter of the race, but Bowyer, you, like I said in the first segment, like I pretty much been saying all night long, used up his equipment. Yeah, when I say equipment, I should have said his tires, really. Clint Bowyer started 14th, ended 3rd. And Clint Bowyer, this team, also been knocking on the door to try to get a win. Couldn't do it. And luckily for Stuart Haas Racing, Talladega is coming up next week, where they own the fall race. They pretty much whipped up on everybody in that playoff race. I think it's going to be much different. Even, you know, with this unknown to this new different package now for the first time going, I know I'm speaking ahead a little bit to next week, but, you know, Stuart Haas, they dominate, they own that race. Almirola getting his first victory, breaking his long winless drought, but Stuart Haas, they own that. I think it's going to be way different this time around when we go resume action at Talladega next week. But Bowyer, though, been knocking on the door. And at this point last year, he had broke through at Martinsville. He is shut out so far in the win column, but he's getting there. Joey Logano already got a win in his back pocket and got a one stage two in this one. You heard from him right there. And of course, your winner, Martin Truex Jr. Logano, going back to him for a moment, led 52 laps. Truex Jr. led the most laps. He didn't have the best car. I didn't think he had the best car either, but 186 laps. So that at that, so that monstrous total, like I talked to you guys last time I talked to you guys, you know, throughout NASCAR podcast, three wide, 487 laps coming into this race from 17. Add that to that list right there. So, man, Martin Truex Jr. was determined, and he was not going to be denied in this race. This is the three-wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Gritter, 30 of the guys on this Monday night. So, 19 on the board in 19 here. Truex Jr. delivers Cole Pearn, the whole team, and Martin Truex Jr. adds another win to the JGR Brigade now. So, Eric Jones shut out in the winless column. Blount, Ryan Blaney, the Young Guns, shut out here so far early on in the year. And the story continues. The march moves on. The JGR Penske story continues. Will it continue in Talladega in a couple weeks? Or will Stuart Haas? This would be the perfect opportunity for Hendrick Motorsports or Stuart Haas Racing or somebody else, possibly, to get a win and stage off what has been a Penske JGR 2019 fun parade so far here this year. Top our EG3 helmet stickers here of the week right now, Big D. Let's go. EG3 helmet stickers of the week. Mine belong to Cole Custer, Zane Smith, Ryan C. EG3 helmet stickers from the Xfinity Series race and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race. The Toyota owners, 400. Martin Truex Jr., y'all know what it is. MTJ, Joey Logano, and Austin Dillon, EG3 helmet stickers. And honorable mention from Big D. He gave his this week to Justin Allgaier. So how about that? Another veteran changing it up a little bit, I see. On the Xfinity side, Justin Allgaier, EG3 helmet stickers of the week. One of the favorite segments of the podcast, EG3 helmet stickers. Once again, let's break it down one more time. Austin Dillon, Joe Logano, Ryan Sieg, Zane Smith, Mark Truex, and Cole Custer, your EG3 helmet stickers of the week. And before we get too far off the railroad tracks here, let's pull up the standings, the top five from the Cup Series. And oh, by the way, let's do this first, though. Next time we see the Cup guys on track next week, Easter this weekend, next week, April 28th, the Cup Series resumes at Alabama, the high banks of Talladega, the Geico 500, 1 p.m. local time, 2 o'clock Eastern time. You live on the West Coast, you listen to this podcast on the West Coast, y'all can figure it out yourselves and your standings heading into the off week. Kyle Busch leads Joey Logano plus 20. They're in the regular season standings. Denny Hamlin's third. Kevin Harvick is fourth. Brad Keselowski is fifth. And 2 points behind him is the 19 of Martin Truex, who moves up a spot in the point standing. So that's what you're looking at right there. And to refresh y'all memory, Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, real quick, your points leader there is Stuart Friesen over Grant Amringer there in the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series. That's your look there at your standings right there. Let's go three wide right now with some stats here that I wrote down here over the weekend here on the three wide NASCAR podcast. EG3 here in the building as usual. And of course, yeah, it changes to that screen, which I do not want. So there we go. So here we move our car to the low side here. And how about this? This is under the radar here that I stumbled on here over the weekend where I was pulling up notes for this podcast. Brad Keselowski made his 350th start over the weekend there, and he got his 172nd top 10 finish there in his career, and he scored his fifth top 10 finish there in 9 races. this year. And of course, going back to Richmond stats here, Keselowski, one win, four top fives, and eight top tens, which puts him at an average finish of seventh right there. Moving our vehicle to the middle green, middle of the racetrack now, going three wide right now with these stats. Austin Dillon, I mentioned this already though, back-to-back top 10 finishes. And this is after having no top 10 finishes at this track from his first 9 starts at Richmond. So Austin Dillon trying to get the feel of the short track. And again, Richmond folks, to refresh our memory, ladies and gentlemen, is a playoff track coming up this fall. And finally, trying to get more grip on the high lane, three wide with Denny Hamlin. Hamlin now extends his top 10 streak at his home track to 7 races, including 6 straight finishes of 7th or better at Richmond. That adds up to a finish, average finish of 4.7. If you do the rounding on that, that's its 5th for Denny Hamlin. A redemption year for Denny Hamlin continues here. Obviously, Denny Hamlin, your Daytona 500 champ in a couple weeks ago, as we hear rumbling going on with the kiddies upstairs, or yeah, upstairs. Denny Hamlin, winner at Texas a couple weeks ago. So Denny Hamlin continues, and Denny Hamlin, he was nowhere to be found throughout majority of this race until, of course, late, where Truex, Logano, Blow Boyer, and Harvick, later on, we're getting the game on in the fourth quarter. So that is your three wide statistics there, right there, this week on the Throughout NASCAR post-race reaction edition of Richmond. This is the Throughout NASCAR podcast here. And I want to wrap with this tonight. Jimmy Johnson completing his first ever marathon, 26.2, at one of the oldest traditions, the more known traditions, which is the Boston Marathon. Jimmy Johnson doing it at 3 hours and 9 minutes yesterday. And for what it is, I know I bash him about the Roval and all that other stuff, and we make fun of him on, I make fun of him on this podcast over the last several years. But yesterday and what it is, I mean, this is, for me, and this is my opinion, obviously, this is, as for me, appreciation for what Jimmy Johnson has done for sport NASCAR. Obviously, we know he is what he is, 7-time champion. Obviously, has won a ton of races, and we could be seeing him in victory lane this year, the way he's been running and improving. And, of course, he had that 12th place finish at Richmond. You turn around, you travel to Boston, and you put down a super fast time at that, 3 hours and 9 minutes, and that's 10 minutes off of my time that I put down a few weeks ago, doing the Wichita Marathon, which was my first marathon as well. That 3:19 I put down was not a dedicated, because that was impressive for me, considering the fact that I collapsed after mile 23 and somehow finished it that way. So that right there for me, that time for me, not talking about Jimmy's time, talking about myself, that could have been a much faster time. But now I have something to shoot for now this fall. And I was already planning on doing another marathon, but this just makes it even me even more motivated to go back out and finish a deal. Jimmy's goal was to run sub 3. My goal was to run sub 3:30, which I still did in 11 minutes time. So I was just, even though, yeah, I went through that collapse late, I somehow found a way to get it done. Jimmy Johnson, he was moving. I kept track of his progress very closely yesterday. And of course, congrats to all the winners of the Boston Marathon who competed up there yesterday. And I am planning on going back and watching the Elite race, which had a fantastic finish of itself also. So Jimmy Johnson getting the job done right there, 3:09. That I have such a more appreciation Jimmy Johnson right now, and for what he did right there, not only for what he did yesterday, for what he's done. So at some point, a light on your head, a light bulb flashes, say, damn. I mean, at one point or another, you know, you appreciate athletes that have done a lot in the sport. And for me, that light bulb hit yesterday when Jimmy Johnson did that, completed that. I mean, we both completed first marathons. Yes, his was a little faster than mine, but that's all right. Yeah, but I got something to shoot for this fall, though, with that. So, but definitely, though, Jimmy Johnson, bring it home for the NASCAR community. 309, congratulations to the 48. Jimmy Johnson, bring it home. And one more shout-out here before we sign off tonight on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Big D, folks, Lewis Hamilton brought home the checkered flag. You want to pull that up real quick here. It was on the bottom of my notes. Yes, so the 1,000th Formula One race ended with the same team up front as the previous couple of races, which was Lewis Hamilton beating. And you, these names are familiar for those of you who don't know. Lewis Hamilton, who has been the master. Speaking of dominant athletes, Lewis Hamilton has been dominant on the Formula One stage, beating out his teammate Valtteri Bottas again to win the race there, which was, oh, I don't have the location of it at right now in this, but yeah, it was, no, here we go, the Chinese Grand Prix, and then, of course, Long Beach saw a first-time winner in the IndyCar Series. Felipe Albuquerque held off Ricky Taylor to win the Bubba Burger Sports Car Grand Prix out in California out there. So a lot of big accomplishments happened over the weekend. So definitely congratulations to Lewis Hamilton and Felipe Albuquerque, Jimmy Johnson doing big, Cole Custer, and of course Martin Truex Jr. bringing home. And the offer is no more. Big D, let's break it down. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to thank you. Oh, what's just wrong with it, Big D? Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the post-race reaction edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. It's a wrap for another post-race edition. I appreciate you guys for tuning in to the podcast, and this will be uploaded tomorrow night, so be out on the lookout for that. And this might be it for us since there's no NASCAR this week. Obviously, Easter will be upon us, so we're going to be enjoying that as well. Hope you guys enjoy your Easter weekend as well. We'll be talking to you next week, getting you set for Talladega. So there is that as well, but this has been a blast. And of course, it has a pep to your step when your driver wins, which mine did, and Martin Truex Jr., Cole Pern, and that 19 bunch on the board here in 2019. We out.
Thanks for listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3-Wide. 3-Wide.